Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose. You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey.
Rolling right along. Hour number three here on this Wednesday morning on CBS Sports Radio. It is Taz and the Moose with you, coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. You've got AB with your updates. Mikey B, Pete the Body across the other side at the controls. Can't play a talking number to call 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227.
Attention hotline fans.
206 on Sirius XM and the Sirius XM app, and hit us up on Twitter and Instagram at Taz and the Moose. As we kick off the third hour in style, let's hit the guest line right now. And let's welcome aboard a three-time NBA champ, now an agent in the association, and that is BJ Armstrong. Hey, BJ, Taz of the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
Oh, great. Hey, pleasure to be here. How are you guys this morning?
Good, BJ. Well, we appreciate BJ. It, man. Thanks, man, for jumping on.
Yeah, how's life as an agent as compared to life as a player, BJ?
That's a little different, but no, all is good.
Breaking up a little bit. You there, BJ? Little choppy.
I think we're a little choppy.
Yeah, we're going to get a better connection with BJ. You know what I want to ask him when we get him back on? You know, I just thought of something, Moose. I'm always looking for a new agent. I'm about to fire my current one today. So I'm going to see if he represents maybe sports radio talent, former World Heavyweight Champions.
Well, there you go. Emphasize, right.
Maybe. Emphasize champion?
No, you're right. I would emphasize champion. Yes, he's back with us.
Okay.
BJ, you with us?
Hello?
Yes, BJ, you with us?
All right, I think we got you.
Yeah. Can you guys hear me now?
Yes, sir. We got you.
So you like life as an agent. It's different than being a player, correct?
Yeah, it's a little different and still around the game and still working and with young people and enjoying the game. So, be able to see the game from this perspective is interesting. You saw it as a player, saw it as an executive. So, I love being around the game. I love the game and what it brings, but most importantly, being able to help young people make the transition from college to the NBA and move on as they continue to grow in life.
I tell you what, BJ, I think it's cool that you made that transition because, you know, you have the ability, like a lot of agents don't, that you know that side, right? You know how the athlete thinks, what he feels, how he's thinking about his family, what's the right deal for him, what's the little nuances in the deal. You've been there, done that, lived it. You've laced them up. You know, a lot of these guys haven't, man. I think it's cool.
Well, just kind of, funny how life takes you in different places. So is this something I kind of fell into? I've always enjoyed working with players. Even when I was playing, I played point guard. So I was always working and kind of, the quarterback, if you will, out there on the floor and that kind of extension of the coach. So it was just a natural transition for me to be able to, help people navigate, as they're making transitions. We're going from one place to another, and, it's a very short shelf life, and you want to maximize your time. So it was just kind of a natural progression, one that I'm very fortunate to have an opportunity to do and work with people, especially in the NBA.
BJ, Taz and myself are both a fan of one of the players that you represent, and that is Draymond Green, who, coming out of, and I was doing shows locally on WFAN in New York at the time when the NBA draft rolled around that year, loved him at Michigan State, and I said, I think he's a winning player, right? And was a winning player for Izzo and the Spartans. I said that there will be a role for him with an NBA team, and I think he's a better player than I ever envisioned as an NBA player. But what about the performance of Draymond Green and how he has really transformed himself into being a superstar in the league?
Well, it really is. And, you spend so much time, and I say, when I say you, the NBA, you spend so much time evaluating players and trying to predict how they're going to be. And then I think you hit it, you hit the nail right on, right there in the sweet spot. Draymond is a winning player. And I don't know how you measure that. I don't know how you measure someone's heart. I don't know how you measure someone's determination. I don't know how you measure someone's ability to lead and play in big moments. But whatever it is, he has all the intangibles, and he brings a certain confidence to his team on both ends of the court that really, you know, I wish I could bottle it up and be able to give it to other young players. But whatever it is, he's figured out how to help his team win games, and he has shown that ability in the collegiate level. Actually, he's doing it in high school, collegiate level, and now he's doing it in the NBA, where whatever he does, it affects the bottom line. And he certainly had a phenomenal playoffs this year, but he's had an incredible career, and the Warriors have been the beneficiaries of that.
There's no doubt, man, that Draymond brings that certain energy, that exuberance that you need to have on your roster and your locker room to win. So speaking of Golden State, I got a question, BJ. Is there any way, in your opinion, defensively, that the Rockets can stop Golden State?
Well, you know, I think the Rockets have improved, and I think that was a big concern from them from a year ago, and they brought in some players that would help them improve in that area. You know, the NBA is a different game now. It's 15, 20 years, it was a game where you had to defend the interior, post players, and you defended from the inside out. Now you look at the game, now you have to defend from the outside in, because the three-point shot is here to stay, and it's here, and it's impacted the game in a big way. Do I think they can actually defend the Warriors? I don't think they match up with the Warriors because of the Warriors' flexibility. And what I mean by the flexibility, I mean, when you move Draymond Green to the center position, it just gives them so much versatility on the floor, where they basically have five players that can actually deliver the ball, initiate the offense, and play from any position. And it puts an incredible amount of pressure on the other team's defense. But more importantly, defensively, how do you attack them? Because their best, exterior defender is Draymond Green. So anytime it takes away the ability to run screen rolls. So everyone's been talking after the first game about how the Rockets have been playing, just one-on-one basketball. But it's really because you've taken away a big part of their offense. Anyone who's played against a Mike D'Antoni team, screen roll is a big part of that. And now it's been taken away because, you know what? They have the ability. They actually want you to run screen roll so that they can get their best defenders on their primary ball handlers. So it's a tough task. But you know what? They had a great regular season, talking about the Rockets. And we'll see what adjustments they make, because this is going to be a big game for them in game two.
Yeah, Will, I guess emotionally dealing with the fact of losing game one. I mean, BJ, you're a three-time champ, and and you play with Michael and the Bulls, and those were great teams and great runs. For those Rocket players, though, dealing after they worked all season long for home court advantage, they talked about the fact they wanted Golden State. They lose by double digits in game one, even with Harden going out and having an unbelievable first game. How does Houston individually pick themselves up emotionally after that kind of a loss?
Well, I think that's a great question. And everyone after game one is saying, the series is over, the Warriors are better. But it just takes me back to my playing days, and I recall, going into game two. Game two is always the most important game, in the series, from the standpoint of it kind of sets the table for the rest of the series. And I remember I think we were playing the Knicks in the playoffs, and I remember Phil Jackson saying, "You know what? You got here to this moment with talent and toughness, but what's going to carry you from this moment on is the character of who you really are." And I think that's important for the Houston Rockets, because we're going to find out what type of character this team has. This, no secret, no doubt about it, this is a must game for them. They're a very talented group. I think they're a very tough group. But the character and the fabric of who they really are, we're going to find out tonight. And that's going to set the tone for them in the future, and it's going to set the tone for them for the rest of this series. So if they come out tonight and they're flat, I think that's going to, it'll be obvious that this is not the right group. If they come out and make the adjustments and play with the grit that you're going to need to win a series, I think this is going to make this series a very interesting one. And I'm sure the Warriors are aware of this, because the Houston Rockets they need this game. I mean, no doubt about it. They need it psychologically. They need it just to know that they can beat the Warriors. But more importantly, they got to win a game there in Golden State now. So if they're going to do anything in this series, it's going to start tonight.
You know, you speak, BJ, about how important in these series at this point in the postseason in the NBA, how vital that second game is. And we saw last night game two of Celtics-Cavs. And I got to ask you, man, are you surprised by the lack of energy that the Cavaliers showed in the second half of that game last night?
Well, you got to give those young guys from the Celtics credit.
Yeah,
you have to give those guys credit. And, you know, when you looked at the team, I was like everyone, I looked at their team, and I was like, you know, those are nice players that they have. But you know what? Rozier, you got to take – he is a really good player. You know, the Morris kid is a really good player.
Yep.
Jaylen Brown, I mean, he's come on – his transition from year one to year two has been phenomenal, okay? And then the kid Tatum, you know, as a rookie to do what he's doing, I just didn't expect this. So give those guys credit. They stepped up to the plate big time. And, you know, I think the stability of Al Horford, what he's been able to do, I mean, he's a very unique player as a center. He's kind of a, you know, he's a facilitator. You know, you can swing the ball through him. He calms the team. He has a calming effect on the game. And he's a pro's pro. And, of course, you know, Coach Stevens gets a lot of credit for what he does out from the sideline. But I'm giving those guys credit. I mean, Marcus Smart, he is just, I mean, he's tough. He's like a little bulldog out there. I mean, he's defending. He's throwing his body around. He does all the things that you need, and he makes winning plays as a player. So I give those guys credit on the Celtics. I think they've all kind of, you know, really went beyond what we all anticipated or expected from them this year. And as a group, they are a really good group, a really good talented group of players that have come together to play winning basketball, and I think they're playing at a very high level as a team.
We're talking to B.J. Armstrong, three-time NBA champ, NBA agent now, representing Draymond Green and others. B.J., you know, Stevens, you mentioned the credit that he gets. Were you surprised being in the game that you are, former player, now an agent? Were you surprised that he did not receive any votes from his fellow coaches in that Coach of the Year award?
Well, you know, every year, you know, you can argue, you know, such and such should have received more votes for whatever individual award. You know what? Coach Casey had a great year. I mean, don't discredit what he did with that team up there in Toronto. I mean, during the regular season, he was terrific. You know, Snyder at Utah, he had a terrific year as a coach. I mean, every year, you know, there's so many people doing wonderful things in this league. Coach Stevens has done a phenomenal job. But you know what? You can give this award to – you can make a case for three or four different coaches every year who's done an incredible job. So in the end, I think the focus has to go back on how your team competes. And I, like many, after the injury of Gordon in game one, I didn't know what to expect from this team. Then Kyrie goes out, I didn't know what to expect. So what he has been able to do with this group to keep them on focus and keep them in they're in the conference finals and losing arguably their two best players. I mean, that's an incredible achievement. But I don't want to discredit what Coach Casey did. I thought they had a great regular season. They had the number one seed. So, you know, you can make your case, but
not one vote. I mean, and now you're beating LeBron's team 2-0 right now. I'm just saying, not one vote. You're not surprised?
Yeah. Well, you know what? I've seen stranger things in this league. When you're around long, I've been around this league now for 30 years. You've seen stranger things, but you know what? I think if you ask his peers about the respect that he's gotten in the short amount of time he's been a head coach in this league, I think no coaches. I think every coach would raise his hand and say, you know what? This guy is one of the better coaches in our league, if not the best right now. I mean, he's doing an incredible job. And certainly, you know, with this group, I think he's shown his ability to keep the group together and his leadership. So, you know, he's done an incredible job. And I think the respect from his peers goes without saying.
You know, BJ, final one for me is this. Everyone asks, and you play with Michael, who's greater, Michael or LeBron? I'll ask it this way. Watching LeBron being where you are now, having played with Michael, greatest similarity between the two players is what?
Well, you know, they're both wing players. You know, I think the similarity is they're both wing. You know, I get asked this question a lot, and I think it's unfair. It's unfair because the game then, talking about Jordan, is a different game than you're watching today. It's just it's a totally different game. The way the game is coached, the way the game is played, the speed of the game, the athletes are different. You know, so I think they're just, the greatest similarity that they have is they're both wing players. They're both wing players. Michael was a, you know, I would say consider a two, as I would think that LeBron is more of a three, a small forward more than a shooting guard. You know, LeBron is a facilitator, and he does a lot of things on the floor. Where Jordan was a finisher. I mean, the thing that makes Jordan unique is he's perhaps the greatest finisher the game has ever seen. You know, he could finish the game. You know, the game is tied in the last 4 minutes of the game. You know, Michael, to me, was the greatest triple threat player to probably ever play it, meaning triple threat. In the last 4 minutes of a game, Michael Jordan was either going to score the ball, he was going to get fouled, or he was going to get an and-one. In the last 4 minutes of the game, he was phenomenal. He could finish the game. He could finish it. Now, every play, that's very difficult for any player to do at that level on a consistent basis. The closest player that I've seen do it is Kobe Bryant, where you could actually finish the game. You know, Kobe had an amazing ability to create shots and do all the things, but Jordan just finished the games. He finished them. If there was any doubt what was going to happen in the last 4 minutes of the game, if you weren't up 10 points, Michael Jordan was just going to score every single time in the last 4 minutes. That's what he did. LeBron, that's not LeBron's, you know, greatest asset. LeBron does a little bit of this. He does a little bit of that. He can score. He can do it. But he doesn't do it with the consistency of Jordan. That doesn't mean Jordan is better or he's better. It's just that LeBron is, to me, a different player. And you have to appreciate what LeBron brings to the game. His versatility of what he does. He rebounds. He takes assists. He passes to the open guy. He does all these things. Where Jordan was just, I mean, the guy just willed his, he was going to wield what he did to the game every single game. He was going to score. He was going to dominate the game on the defensive end. He was going to dominate the game and whatever he needed to do that night. So, and I just think it was a different mindset. But, and they're all right. They're great players. It would have been interesting to see Jordan play in this era with a three-point shot, how that would have affected how he attacked the game, because he had learned how to play from the low post. I mean, Michael Jordan basically was a 6'6 center, in my opinion, especially in the later parts of his career. He played below the free throw line. Well, LeBron, you know, LeBron is, you know, he's bringing the ball up the court. He's initiating the offense. He's playing screen roll. He's got so much out there on the floor. So, you know, if there's any similarity, they're both on the wing. LeBron is, I mean, when you see him up close, I mean, he's like 6'8", 270 or something. I mean, he's just a massive man for him to be able to you know, move around like he does. But they're both great players in their own right. But it would have been interesting to see them flip-flop and play in the different eras. And then we would get a take on, you know, who's who.
B.J. Armstrong, a three-time NBA champ, now an agent in the association. Hey, B.J., we appreciate the time this morning. We really do. And best and continued success, all right?
Thank you, bud.
Thank you, guys. Yep.
You got it. Get a good job and gave you a good answer there in terms of Michael and LeBron. Coming up straight ahead, we'll do some leftovers, and coming up later on in the hour, 8:40 a.m. Eastern time, we'll talk about the Robbie Cano suspension with Billy Ripken. MLB Network will join Taz and myself then as we roll right along on this Wednesday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Rolling right along here on this Wednesday morning, it is Taz and the Moose with you. We've got some leftovers. Ask the Pros coming your way. Billy Ripken will join us about 15 minutes from now, MLB Network. AB is in the house, third and final time. The quick update, here's Andrew.
Wait a second.
What? What's the matter?
I can see through the glass. You know this. Who's sitting at my
Keith
desk?
Keith Hernandez is here. He's getting set to go on with Boomer and Gio.
He's sitting at my desk, though.
Like, well, it's a community desk.
But no, but it says T-A-Z on it. He just sat at my desk.
Does it really?
He
and
got
yours, yours says Moose. They put labels on it. And he's not at your desk. He's at my desk. What the hell?
Well, I think he heard you say.
He's since moved.
Heath is sitting at my desk, and he looked, felt awkward and got up and moved.
Yeah, I think he did move. Well, like you said, A-B, we're former teammates.
Right.
I did that whole bit just for that line.
Yes, that's exactly right. Yes. You should just go out and celebrate the 86 title with him.
Well, at least Keith was on our show and on the phone.
Yeah,
good job, Mikey B.
Yeah. Right.
Mikey B. Oh, wow, real original. Put the producer down.
Well, I mean, Keith is...
Yeah, that's Pete the Body. He's on. He's delayed. It's a whole. He's got issues.
Take it away, Andrew.
A lot of problems. Yeah.
So some call TD Garden Boston the Taz and Moose studio of the NBA. So the Cavaliers happy to get the hell back to Cleveland after a 107-94 loss last night, which leaves them in an 0-2 hole in the Eastern Conference Finals, despite 42 points, 10 rebounds, and 12 assists from LeBron.
They did what they had to do, and that was protect home. And now it's our, you know, it's our time to try to do that as well. So, you know, we have a few days, like I said, and you know, we're gonna see what we made of on Saturday.
Kevin Love scored 22 last night, 11 from Kyle Korver, but no other Cav had more than 8, while the Celtics had 6 in double figures, led by Jaylen Brown's 23. Al Horford had 15 and 10 boards as Boston improved to 9-0 in Boston this postseason. As
hey, you think I should have told him to get up before?
You did by saying audibly for him, why is Keith Hernandez sitting at my desk?
It was kind of like me and Mikey B looked at it through the glass. It was almost like a Seinfeld feel. Like, remember the spit gimmick? Moose, maybe not. Moose is busy. Yeah,
I remember. The West finale resumes this evening.
Moose is on course 4 right now.
No, I'm eating my breakfast.
This is course 4.
You ate your breakfast at 5:30 this morning.
This is course 4 for the
I didn't get to be honest with you, I didn't get a sense of the spitting routine on Seinfeld.
Dude, I don't know why. Mikey Bean at the same time did get that sense. We laughed about it. We jocularity about it. We did. Oh. Mikey B and I. It
took 5 months.
Mikey B's got a hair across his forearm and an anger towards me. I don't know what his problem is. Mm. I read in the Riot Act during the break about.
It is about I, not we.
Well, yes. And I'm looking at the Moose. He's got himself a little Mountain Dew. Great brand. He's got.
I need a little caffeine.
Bro, he's got a sandwich.
I made myself a sandwich at home.
You made yourself a farm, son. There's about 13 eggs on there and a half a pig.
What are you talking about?
Bro, I wish I had half that sandwich.
Dude, you ate basically a hoagie this morning for breakfast at 5:30 this morning. And you had a mountain of ketchup. The whole newsroom reeked.
There was a lot of ketchup.
Don't comment on my breakfast.
And it was Tabasco. And Tabasco.
Basically, you ate like you were going to the chair this morning.
Bro, you have every segment is a different course.
No, there's not. A banana and egg sandwich.
It's like Thanksgiving here with you. That's unbelievable.
Taz.
It's share with the group.
Taz. No. There's no
shame. I'm just impressed with the time to cook it. Anything
I don't know how he does it. Yeah. I don't know. I really don't.
There you go.
But I think he has, before we go on with the update, which is very important, I think Moose has in his locker area, he has a whole slew of lockers in his area near his desk. I think he has a microwave in his locker, which is probably unsafe.
Yeah.
No.
A hot plate, and I think he has a sink.
All true.
It's like a kitchen.
And Chef Mike.
Chef Mike. Chef Mike is in your locker.
All true.
By the way,
has anybody heard from Chef Mike after a little convo about him yesterday? Nothing, on the social media, Mikey B? He didn't DM you?
No, nothing from
how was
CM.
It when you visit him for lunch?
I didn't get a chance. We probably pissed him off. Mm. I had a good chance of
probably
that.
Not.
Okay.
All right. Let's get through this up.
The West finale resumes this evening. Golden State going for a 2-0 lead in Houston at 9 Eastern. The Suns had the best chance at the number one pick, and they got it in last night's draft lottery. The Kings, Hawks, Grizzlies, and Mavericks complete the top 5. The Tampa Bay Lightning on the board in the Eastern Conference final with a 4-2 win in D.C. The Caps now lead 2-1. The Arizona Diamondbacks snapped their 6-game slide 2-1 over Milwaukee, but will spend at least the next month without All-Star center fielder A.J. Pollock. He's been diagnosed with a broken left thumb. He was hurt Monday night diving for a catch. Jose Altuve's 3-run double in the 8th got the Astros a 5-3 win in Anaheim, and it's now official the Carolina Panthers being sold to hedge fund manager David Tepper, reportedly for $2.2 billion. The deal will not close until July, but Tepper will get owner approval at meetings next week in Atlanta. See you guys tomorrow.
All right. Thank you, AB. Appreciate it. Let's get to some leftovers, shall we? Take it away.
It's time now to dig into some leftovers with Taz and the Moose. The stories from today's rundown that we haven't talked about on the show.
All right, take it away, Mike.
All right, we'll start with Steve Kerr, Game 1 TNT broadcast, talked about if he could play in today's NBA.
Just watching our guys and how talented they are and how talented Houston is, there's no way I could have played in the NBA today. So I came around at the right time 20 years ago.
You buying that, or is this some gimmick for his players?
I don't know if I'm necessarily buying it.
I am kind of buying it, Moose. I don't know. I think he's sincere in that. I think that as you get a little older and then you watch the pace and the speed and the ball movement and the athleticism of the guys today, not just NBA, I just think athletes in general, as you hit that age, you're hitting, you know, 50, 51, 49 years old, in that realm, you start to get this epiphany like, man, these guys are moving quick and they're big and strong. Like, you start to say, how do they do this? You
right, know? But if I stick Michael, Scotty, and Dennis Rodman on a team right now, and I put Steve Kerr on that team, B.J. Armstrong, there wouldn't be a role for Steve Kerr on that team?
In this day and age?
As a three-point shooter? When the three-point shot is
as emphasized? It would be tough to argue that.
As emphasized as the three-point shot is? Now, I'm not going to tell you that he'd be able to hold up defensively.
Right,
but
right.
I'm not going to tell you that he probably played in the era that was perfect for his athleticism, his skill set.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about a guy that's 5'9". I mean, he's still...
He's a big dude.
He's still 6'3".
Right.
I mean, Steve Kerr has got some size to him, but could I find a role for Steve Kerr? I think I could probably find a role.
Probably could, but you know, I bet you...
But it'd have to be the right situation.
I think so. He's probably, you know, shoot around practice and with the guys. He's wearing sweats, shorts, sneakers, all sorts of britches. And he's probably moving the ball around with these guys and probably realizing, I'm glad I'm not playing no more. You know what I mean? That happens.
Well, especially when you look at the size and the way the athlete has evolved in today's day and age.
Amen. It's a young man's game. Next!
The latest internet craze has been trying to decide which word you hear, if it's Yanni or Laurel.
Wait, hold on a second. What?
Or Laurel.
What do you mean internet craze? I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, the latest internet craze has been trying to decipher which word you hear, if it's Yanni or
Laurel.
Are
you going to play some kind of audio for us now?
Here's the audio. You decide.
I lose the attitude. Okay, go ahead.
Laurel. Laurel.
Yeah. See,
it says Laurel. Say Laurel. Like Laurel
It's been
Bacall.
50-50.
Like Laurel Bacall.
People hear both.
Like Laurel
Play that
Bacall.
Again. Let me hear it.
Laurel.
And what did they hear? Laurel. Laurel or what?
Or Yanni.
Laurel.
Yanni? What the hell?
I heard Yanni yesterday. Today I hear Laurel.
Yanni.
Oh, I heard both.
Yanni. Yanni, isn't he a singer or a violinist? Plays the fiddle?
Yanni or Laurel? Play it
Charlie Daniels.
Laurel. Laurel.
It's Laurel. I don't hear Yanni.
Laurel. I don't hear Yanni. All right.
So I don't hear Yanni either. Mike, you heard Yanni?
I did yesterday, yes.
Yanni. That's what it sounded like?
Yeah.
Like that?
Laurel.
Yeah.
Like that?
Yanni.
I'm being a goofball. Laurel. Sorry, Moose. I'm being a goofball.
No.
Sorry.
I don't understand how you could hear Yanni.
You hear Laurel, right, Moose?
Thanks for asking. Hold on. Time now to ask the pros.
I want to speak the body.
No, we don't need it. Where you, the listener, get to ask us a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question is from Tony in San Diego. Will Eric Gordon show up tonight for the Rockets? The question of the day brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question was from Tony in San Diego. Don't forget, you can submit a question by going to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every single day. He's going to have to. Do I think he will? I think he'll play better. I think Gordon will play better coming off the bench tonight for the Rockets. So, in essence, do I think he'll show up? Yeah, I think he'd probably show up.
I agree. I think he'll definitely play better for sure. Yeah, I think so. Should be good tonight.
And to wrap it up, so there you go for Tony in San Diego. Bilotti, you heard Laurel or Yanni?
Yanni.
Coming up
Yanni.
Straight ahead, Billy Ripken Laurel. Will join us. MLB Network. Laurel. We'll talk about the Robbie Cano suspension and all things Major League Baseball. That comes your way next. Taz of the Moose with you, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I just housed the bagels.
Bro, it was, I just sat here.
Taz is describing flat bagels, the bagel joints he goes to with his lovely wife, yeah. Long Island, the sun.
Flat bagels.
Right, flat bagels. Never heard of it. Sounds delicious.
Flatten it on.
I know.
Put a clean sheet.
A little butter.
Yeah, a little bit of butter on it. Bro.
It sounds delicious. I asked him if it was a bialy. He said, no, it's not a bialy.
It's like a dirty ball.
No, it's not a bialy. I said it was a bialy.
An idiot. Bialy.
Come on, it's a flat bagel.
Flat bagel, son. I mean,
geez. CBS yeah. Sports Radio is toll free line 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. In 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance.
You know, I'll tell you this right now. Yeah. I'm getting a little annoyed with some of the people that work in the newsroom. You know, I get here before we get rolling with the show here more. I'm getting a little annoyed with everybody. Like I need my own area. I need my own like office. Why don't you and I have our actual own big office, like corner office overviewing overlook the water?
Why? Because Mike came back.
Oh, Francesa, Mike. Good point. Okay. Yeah, that's okay. That changed the game. Okay,
that changed it.
Boomer still has his office though.
Right, Boomer's got his office, right?
Boomer actually has a gigantic star on his door.
He does, right. I think Al Dukes put it up there, right? So
Al Dukes is my friend. Why don't you get me a star?
I don't think there's anybody that's on CBS Sports Radio that has their own office.
What about...
Tiki and Tierney don't.
What about the King of Shades?
Jim Rome is out in California.
He's got to have a gigantic office
in California.
California.
I'm talking about here. Right? Bill Ryder has got the closet as a studio.
He does.
Is it not true? I mean, that's,
it's a quasi office that he does some on camera.
That's where he does the CBS HQ stuff, right? I mean, that's
closet is probably not the right word, but okay.
He's got a half office, right? I guess they split in half.
How about the other guy? What's his name? Who does the midday show with Joe Beningo on WFAN? What's his name again?
Evan Roberts. They have an office. I'm talking about CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, not true. But why don't we just take Evan's office?
We don't. Amy doesn't.
No.
DA doesn't. I mean, Marash is out in the newsroom right now swinging a baseball bat.
Right.
So
those guys,
Tiki and Tierney don't.
Why don't we all have offices and share one office?
Ryder does, but it's like a quasi TV studio.
You want me to talk to Eric Spitz about this?
Pharrell doesn't.
Pharrell doesn't either.
No.
I like Pharrell.
I mean, we broached the topic.
But I'll get into deeper with him because the video conversation really worked well. That's going great.
Video, yeah.
The live video is going
great. Up and running.
That's really... Just pretend you're looking at us on video.
I know. Right.
I've been wearing dress clothes here nonstop.
Well, Lean Mean tweets about it. You would think we were on video the way how creative he is.
Well, he's very creative.
I mean, he's fantastic.
There's a couple of people. Now we have a couple minutes. We should promote a couple of Twitter accounts. And Bazanji's one of them, Moose. I think Bazanji's a guy... For those that you hear all open our music,
his stuff is fantastic.
It's Bazanji, and you guys should give Bazanji a follow and get his music on iTunes or Spotify. He's at Bazanji, BAZANJI. That's one guy you need to follow for sure. And if you're a fan of any kind of hip hop, that's it, right? That's Bazanji.
That's Bazanji.
That's my man right there.
He's great.
When he's in New York
Taz's buddy is fantastic.
Yeah, but he loves you too, Moose. He loves you too. He does. He's a graduate of UNC. He's a Tar Heel. And he's a hip-hop Jones, we call him. And he's great. Follow him. Also, Lean Mean, I think, is someone you need to follow who does a lot of work. He's got a great rate he works at, too. We pay him a pretty good rate. Follow him.
Right, he works
at,
for nothing.
Yes. LMFight. LMFIGHT. Lean Mean. He is the man, dude. He's the man. He does great stuff. Wow, Lean Mean only follows 104 people. Man, I feel honored. You should feel honored, too. He follows you.
I should feel. I am honored.
Wow, he must be a bigger shot than I thought he was. Wow.
Well, yes.
104 people.
And we thank everyone for their support. We really do.
The Kingsman, another guy. We Over Nation.
Yes.
Your friend John. What's his name in
John
Jersey?
John from Orange.
Does he have a Twitter?
He does. I got to look it up. Yeah. I don't know it off.
She's like, well, you're only on Twitter once a week. Why would you know?
Stop. I mean, honestly, let's hit the guest line right now. Let's welcome aboard Billy Ripken. Does a great job, a former player, great job, MLB Network. Hey, Billy, Taz of the Moose with you. Thanks for the time this morning. We certainly appreciate it.
What's up, guys? I have to apologize for being a tad tardy. I got a little split double header working today. I did the Nate game, and I got a day game following, and I was back in the edit bays trying to look at some stuff.
No worries. We appreciate you cutting some time out for us, Billy. Let's start here. Surprised by the suspension of Cano. B, what do you read into his statement that he issued after the 80-game suspension?
The first part of it is yes and no. Okay, a little surprised. And then on the other side of it, no. We seem to get a name every year. It bewilders me why we're still having the similar conversations that we've had 5 years ago. Not a big fan of the statement necessarily, because from what I'm understanding where I sit, the thing that was tested positive for with investigation was being used to mask something else. And I don't know why we can't come up with something. I did something wrong, and I apologize, but we have to apologize for taking something from a doctor that the team doesn't know about. And it just seems to be this long, drawn-out process. It's a crying shame because it's going to make skeptical people, and I could fall into that category from time to time, still be suspicious of some things that go on with baseball players in today's game. That's to no fault of MLB. I think they've done everything in their power to try to make this the toughest drug policy in all team sports, and I believe it is. But I just think that bad guys are going to be ahead of the good guys when it comes to some of this stuff.
No, Billy, I mean, you've been around the game for years. Your family, obviously. I actually had the opportunity to meet you once. You wouldn't remember that, but at Cal Ripken's deal there, my son was in Little League. You guys do a great job. And you actually thrown soft toss to some of the boys back in the day, a few years back. And,
right.
And you're a good dude. And I could tell just by the way you instructed the young players how competitive a guy you are, not just your playing days, but you still seem competitive, which I respect. My point I'm getting at is this. Right, we know. Look, the playing in the majors, I mean, you know, the playing in the bigs is no joke. It's hard as hell, right? And guys, and you've come across guys in your playing days to years after, how competitive guys are. Not that I'm condoning use of PEDs or anything like that. But, I mean, I'm sure you've seen stuff in your years back in the day playing how competitive guys can be. And guys are always looking for that edge. Not that it makes it right, but that edge can be addicting, correct?
I guess so. And I sit from where I sit now, I look back at my days. I was so worried about, you know, maintaining the 24-man roster and playing, but never thought that that was the avenue to go. And I sit there and I go back in my mind and think about some of the utility players that would come into spring training that were noticeably different sized than they were the year before. And I kind of started to get a case of the ass now, you know, thinking about that, going, well, I think he was probably cheating at that point in time. Right. I understand what you're saying and how this game has, I guess, evolved with every little thing you look at to try to get the advantage. But I still hope and pray that I go back with the upbringing of Pops, and there's a right way and there's a wrong way to do things. And I still look at it, it's the wrong way to do it. And I didn't want to be a part of that. I guess I get why they do it. It just never would have fell into my thought process.
We're chatting with Billy Ripken. You can watch Billy on MLB Tonight. Plus, MLB Network will feature at least one live game every day through Monday, including tonight's Astros and Angels game. Billy, there's been a lot of interesting storylines across the sport. I'll ask you, positive or negative? Biggest surprise here through the first 40-plus games of the MLB regular season is what?
Well, maybe you go on the downside and think a little bit Dodger-like. I think there's some stuff going on in their camp that's not necessarily copacetic. You look at them on the proverbial on paper, regardless of a couple of the injuries that they've sustained and everything, you go, okay, they got to be better than this.
Right.
There's just something not right in la-la land. And that's concerning to me because you wonder how a team can win a division year, go deep into the postseason, and then just not look the part the next year. So something's not quite right. That may be the one that jumps off the page at me right away. Positive, it could be Atlanta Braves. It's a shame we haven't got this replay system worked out right, because I think that's another W for the Atlanta Braves if we did in last night's game. But these guys could be ahead of schedule. They got talent. You're watching what Acuna does and Albies, these young studs that are coming up and playing, and it kind of makes you want to sit back and take notice of what they're doing as well.
Well, Billy, speaking of the Braves, I mean, can teams like the Braves or the Pirates, can they keep up this pace and stay at the top of the heap?
It's going to be tough, because I think when you do look at the on-paper matchups, they don't match up with necessarily the other club name recognition-wise. The interesting thing about these young teams, though, they get off to starts like this, and look, we have former general managers and managers that have been up through here. All of them kind of say the 40-game mark is a pretty good barometer. You're a quarter way through the season. It gives you an idea of what you have and what you have to work with. Now, with that said, are the Washington Nationals a better squad than the Atlanta Braves? I'm going to have to say odds on favorite, yes. But the longer youthful, talented teams stay in the mix, the longer that power of belief sticks with them, and then the more they think they can go out there and do it. And that's going to be the fun part to watch. I'm going to be real interested to see how Atlanta, let's push this thing into July. We're in the same area. They've got a loaded farm system. What's the piece that they could go out there and make a move for that might put them over the top? It'll be a fun thing to watch.
Yankees Sox here. We have a couple minutes left to play with in the American League East, Billy. I mean, it's setting up to where it's going to be a two-horse race here down the stretch. It's going to be an entertaining one at that.
Yeah, and these two teams maybe surprised me a little bit on just how good they are. I don't think it surprised me they're going to be at the top of this thing. You know, the Yanks, I was watching a little bit of that game the other day before I got suspended against the Nationals. And you're running up there. If you're Gio Gonzalez and you got to face Judge Stanton and Gary Sanchez back to back to back, whether any of them are necessarily swinging the bat up to par or not, can you imagine the stress, though, if you know you make one mistake, it's going to go 450 feet. And when you talk about taxing pitches, or all pitches and pitch counts are not created equal, that's one of them. That's the modern-day murderer's row. It's got to be some kind of angst for opposing pitchers to face them. Boston's just overall good. J.D. Martinez coming into their lineup certainly fills that void that Poppy left 2 years ago when everybody talked about the presence in the middle of the lineup. Mookie Betts jumping up to the top of the rotation and being one of the best hitters on the planet is fun to watch. So this is going to be a fun time, and it's a shame one of those two teams is going to have a one-game play-in.
Hey, Billy, we appreciate the time this morning. Enjoy your day, and have a good broadcast, all right?
All right, guys, I appreciate you, and next time we do it, I'll be dead on time.
You got it. Thanks, Billy Ripken. You can watch him on MLB Tonight, plus MLB Network will feature at least one live game every day through Monday, including tonight's Astros-Angels game.
It's unbelievable. Great job by Billy. I'm looking on Twitter. Just
Billy's an Emmy winner.
So, yeah, no, he's excellent. You're an Emmy winner, aren't you?
Yes, I am an Emmy winner.
I won a podcasting. I won an award, by the way.
Congratulations.
I should bring it and keep
great.
It on the desk here.
What's the name of the award?
Top podcast. Yeah.
By whom?
I don't know. Remember the name of the company? It's Grammys.
Proud.
Grammys. Grammys did it. Grammys 2, it's called.
Mikey B.
I don't remember. There we go. Huh?
That's stunning. You don't remember an award you won.
Because I could buy a trophy. I don't need trophies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.